Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.
The following podcast is sponsored by the Women in Comedy Festival. Check us out at WICF.com. Well, hey, everybody. This is Love About Town, sponsored by the Women in Comedy Festival Network and the Brain Machine Network. As always, you have me, your host, Kenise Mobley, and...
It's your boy, Rohan, everybody. Fresh from the protest. That rhymes, right? Kind of?
It's Thanks, a soft everyone. Rhyme.
Yes. All right. I'm going to go out on that. I'm leaving. I'm not
Rohan
recording
has
anymore.
Put his arms up as though he has accomplished something great.
All right. I just watched that Seinfeld episode where Jerry tells George he has to leave on a laugh after he does everything. And so if he gets a laugh or just feels like he's ready to leave, he's just like, well, I'm leaving. And then he just leaves after every scene. And I was
Is
trying to take
you're
off on
be
that
now?
Too. George Costanza? No, that would be very bad, I think.
Yeah. I don't think that's a good choice for you.
No, that's not. But
I do love that feeling though. A sitcom end it like a sitcom exit line where you laugh and then you leave. It's a very good feeling.
Yes. Oh, great feeling. Great feeling. I don't know. Anyway, keep talking. I have taken all the momentum out of the conversation.
That's not what you did, but I love that you are always questioning if that's your role in this.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever said just like I am Rohan confidently. It and felt it. Mm-mm. Because you are in fact Rohan.
Yes, and that's what I'm afraid of everyone finding out.
What?
I that was being self-deprecating.
Okay. I worry about you. My whole family worries about you. We're all rooting for you, Rohan.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, wow, I still get messages from my sister being like, he's going to be okay, right? Like,
Wait, which sister?
Michelle.
Oh, Michelle, okay. Yeah. I was like,
Patrice, I don't know if she thinks you're going to be okay, but she loves you too.
Patrice sent me a... we're digressing. Patrice, I had shaved my beard and now I have a mustache, and Patrice, like, when she saw that, like, I had posted it or whatever, she sent me like an article that was basically like, guys need to learn that a beard looks better as a beard, and a mustache, you shouldn't have a mustache alone, you should have a beard with the mustache.
That's so shitty. Why would she send you that?
I don't know.
I'll talk to her about it. That's
no
rude.
You don't have to.
No, I'm going
funny.
To That's okay, not funny. Fine. That's mean. That's bullying with articles.
Oh, I didn't take it as bullying.
Okay.
She wasn't the only one who was like, why do you have a mustache?
I say go for it. You live in Brooklyn.
Thank
you.
That's what I listen. It's been 3 months. I kept it.
You can do whatever you want. We have waited so long to introduce our guest that they are now looking out of the window.
Well, there's
so
an
sorry.
Argument.
Okay.
There's an argument going on.
There is an argument going on, presumably by a couple, which brings me to the fact that this is the first time you guys
first
are here for the first episode ever where we've had a couple.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah, you guys are the couple. So
the
we
couple.
Asked you. Like
the
there are other couples, couple. But you guys are the couple. Okay. Mm-hmm. So please, welcome. You've seen them on TV. You've seen them at shows all over New York. I'm using them as though it's not a non-binary one person. It's two people of different mm-hmm. genders
yep.
who appear in different comedy things. Please welcome Sam Evans and Carmen Legala.
Yay.
Hello.
Hello.
We had I'm surprised. We've been doing this for like a few years now, and
yes.
this is the first time we've ever had like a couple like on a podcast that where we just talk about like dating and relationships and stuff. And I'm not sure why it took us this long.
I think because we were afraid that we would ask them weird questions and they would break up.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want to be responsible for breaking up a relationship.
Yeah,
that's
but
true.
I was like, Sam and Carmen, they we don't have to worry about them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
This is not adding any additional pressure at all.
Yeah. Come on. I just listened to Sam's album. They're fine.
Me too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. It was a great album.
Yeah, that means that they're okay. Sam's album is good. That means that they're doing great.
If it was bad, I'd be like, oh, maybe we shouldn't. We shouldn't ask them. They are at risk. Okay, so no, the album was good, so we can ask them.
Yeah. Oh man, that is. Sorry, not before you guys talk, because we haven't let you talk at all.
We haven't let you speak
in any way. We're not going to. I'd have to imagine.
It's okay. So, the argument is
it's raging
so loud. It's like actually scary.
Really? I don't want to blow up people's business, but what is the theme of the argument?
I think it's a jilted lover situation. Ooh. Is my guess.
A jilted lover.
Interesting. Listeners, you can hear a little bit of it. Sam and Carmen are looking out of their window.
I think we might have to move to a different room. We're trying so hard to be engaged, and it is absolutely impossible right now. And I'm so sorry. More people. Yeah. I think other people are starting to intercede so it doesn't get too heated.
Move to another room.
Do whatever you need. I know you've got a whole setup.
Literally a few minutes and we'll be right back in it.
Hell yeah.
No, don't apologize. It's fine. All right.
You didn't do this. It's not like
Some would say it's Love About Town.
In real life. This is love in real life.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's complicated. Sometimes it's messy. People fight. Not physically. Yeah.
Now we're going to the studio, or as I like to call it, Matt Backus's room.
Wow. Wait, where's Matt?
He is in Indianapolis.
Is that where he's from?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. So he took off for there a little while ago.
Nice.
And now I use this room a lot. We'll just grab the chairs and then we'll be right back in it.
Yeah. Sure.
Matt Backus is one of the people who, like, I can't imagine them as younger than when I met them. And so them existing in any other place but New York is just like, really? Huh.
Oh, really?
I mean, I guess you have to be from somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. You can't imagine somebody existing outside of New York City if you only met them in New York City?
It's not that I can't imagine them existing out. It's not everyone. It's just certain people where I'm like, yep, New York. They've always been the same age. I can't imagine them as younger people. Matt Backus is one of these people where I'm just like, I guess. I mean, sure, he's got to be from somewhere, but it's weird to me that that's where he's from.
Oh, yeah. He was like a little sort of wheat field boy, cornfield boy.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What cornfield boys look like?
Yeah, well, he's stylish for a cornfield boy.
He's very stylish. He's like if Indianapolis met Los Angeles. He's very stylish. Like, he's
okay.
Yeah, I don't understand. I'm always surprised when people are from New York.
Yeah,
it's always the other way around for me. I assume that people are not from New York, and then when they're like, "I'm from New York," I'm like, "Whoa, what? Crazy!"
I always am like, "Oh, so you like did cocaine when you were 12?" Like, that's what I think of all children from New York.
People that are like, "Yeah, we used to hang out in Manhattan when we were like 13." I'm like, "That's insane."
What? Why?
How are you not the leader of the Hell's Angels right now?
Exactly. I see like 12-year-olds on the train who have more poise and maturity and like calmness than I ever will have. And it's crazy.
I'm always afraid for them. I don't know what I think is going to happen on the train, but I'm always like, where's your parent? Like, who owns you? Not, like, who's responsible? Oh,
I've been going bike riding in Prospect Park and like, you know, there are a lot of people biking there. So you see people biking and then occasionally there'll be like an odd 8-year-old and he has like a bike and it has training wheels and he's biking and there's just not an adult in like in sight. And you're like, are you, you look around, you're like, somebody watching this child? No, he seems to be oblivious to everything that's happening. He seems fine. I'm like, okay. This is how New York is.
Sure.
He's got to be independent. Okay. Yeah. Maybe we should take off the training wheels. He's moving a little slow, but that's fine. It's weird. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel the same way about old people, too, in New York. Like, anytime there's, like, a very, very old person, I'm like, God, how do you do it here?
Oh, yeah. My parents have like two like old, like my parents first moved to America, they moved to New York, they were like, they lived in Queens, and so they have like these, like this like old couple who like one of them sponsored my dad like when my dad got his master's degree and stuff, so it's like they know this like old couple who's lived in New York forever, and I will see them occasionally when my parents come to the city, and it's like, I don't know how. I was like
80s, 90s, like
that. 80s, and they've been living in New York their whole life. They still take the subway. They like still walk to the Union.
There aren't enough elevators. I don't understand how they're doing it physically.
They live on the first floor of a brownstone.
Okay, that's so, like, better.
Yeah, so that they don't. There's no stairs. There's no stairs to walk up, so they're okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, we were speaking about young people. This is a bad segue. We were speaking about young people. So I am going to show you guys this video that I thought was very interesting, and I want to get your take on it. It is an advertisement that was released by the country of New Zealand, I guess.
Yes. The New Zealand. We'll just say it's the New Zealand government. It seems like that's who released it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Sue. This is Derek. We're here because your son just looked us up online, you know, to watch us.
Matt, darling, there's some people here to see you. So he watches you online?
Yeah, you know, on his laptop.
iPad, PlayStation.
His phone, your phone.
Smart TV projector.
Yeah, anyway, we usually perform for adults, but your son's just a kid. He might not know how relationships actually work. We don't even talk about consent, do we? Now we just get straight to it.
Yeah, and I'd never act like that in real life.
Hey, Maddie. You're right.
Okay, Sandro, stay calm. You know what to do here.
All right, Maddie. It sounds like it's time to have a talk about the difference between what you see online and real life relationships.
No judgment.
Many young Kiwis are using porn to learn about sex. Keep it real online. Get help and advice at keepitrealonline.govt.nz.
Wow.
That's the commercial.
I love it. Yeah.
I love it. That's
I
great.
Can't imagine our country doing something like that.
No, never. Because yeah. They'd rather just not talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not acknowledge that sex actually exists and not acknowledge that their sex is so easily accessible to everyone in any capacity.
Yeah. And the mass produce, you know, like the sex culture that you see in porn is like, I don't know, sort of in overdrive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And you're
Well, how much of what you guys learned about sex and how people have sex came from pornography?
I don't really know, actually.
There wasn't a lot of internet when I was growing up, I guess. I'm old. I read books.
You read porn books.
I read porn books.
Are they explicitly pornographic books?
Penetration.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot
big,
of like
big literatica fan over here.
I like There's, to read. I'm horny for books.
Nice.
There's horny podcasts. Did you know that?
Really?
What?
Yeah, there are like podcasts where you can listen to, it's like erotic podcast, yeah. And you
what's
can,
it called? And are they free?
They're not free. You have to pay us.
Well, I'm not.
I'm out. It's called Dipsea. It's like D-I-P-S-E-A. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's like that. Yeah. So it's like it's like an alternative to porn. Honestly, it's like a company like owned by women, and like they want to. I think they want to create more realistic expectations for porn and for like sexual activity. And because some people are like kind of taken aback by porn because it's so, like Sam said, like everything is on overdrive.
Yeah.
So some people just like cannot physically handle that because, which is totally completely understandable.
Yeah.
But so they have this pot, they have like alternatives like this. I frankly did learn about sex from porn.
I did too.
I did too.
Although I will say, I'm only just now thinking about this, but I had a really illuminating moment. My brother studied abroad in Spain for like a couple years in college. And so one Christmas, me and my whole family went over to visit him. Mm-hmm. And it was my parents in one hotel room and us in another. And the hotel in Spain, you can just get porn on the TV. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, three young brothers. We just casually have porn on. We're disgusting. Yeah. And then one night I remember my brother, because he's like an adult man now, you know, like, or at least he was in college. He was having sex. So one night there was, it was like this weird, like amateur, not weird. It was just two normal people having sex, as opposed to like the highly fetishized, like highly produced porn. It was just two normal people having sex. And we were just kind of like, look at that. And my brother's like, just so you guys know, that is what sex is really like. Just so you know. And I do remember that, actually. Just
holy like, cow. Okay.
Yeah. He was like, it's not what you watch. It's more like this. And yeah.
That was nice of him, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
That is a very, that's great. Because I didn't know any of it. I mean, I kind of picked it up over time. That's what sex was going to be like. But like in the beginning, I was like, no. And then you always compare your penis to the guys in porn.
Sure.
When you're younger.
Hmm. Huh.
Yeah. You think that that's what a penis is supposed to look like.
For sure. Obviously you're about your fine penis.
Yeah. Your penis is perfectly fine and like average and like does all the things it's supposed to do, but it doesn't look it doesn't look like it's been to the gym, you know?
If we're in the midst of so many more important things going on right now, I would love to start a publicity campaign just reassuring young men about the size of their penis.
Yeah.
I have a sincere belief that that is where so many of the ills of the world come from. It's just young men feeling weird about their dicks, and they need somebody to be like, hey, it's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. Your dick is absolutely fine, and it's whatever size it is, however it looks, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
When you guys were in middle school, did everyone talk about how big their dicks were? Because that was like a huge part of my middle school experience.
Yes, and how little their dicks were. They were like, so-and-so's got a little dick. And you'd be like,
yeah. You didn't want to be the guy with a small penis, with a little dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like the last thing that you wanted to do.
Is that, like, I don't know any middle schoolers. Are middle schoolers still doing that? Or was that just like a late 90s, early 2000s thing?
I don't know.
I hope they're not, but I bet they are, for sure.
Yeah. What do girls do to make themselves feel bad about themselves?
We felt bad about ourselves regardless. We didn't need other girls. I mean, we did tear each other down, but we didn't need that. We already felt very bad. Yeah. So, yeah.
What do girls say to you? I remember hearing girls say that one girl had a boob that was bigger than the other.
I remember that,
it's too. It's like a very normal thing, I think.
Yeah.
So-and-so's fat. So-and-so's a slut. So-and-so sells BJs for French fries. Yeah, that was like a rumor about one girl at my school. It was like, this person has a crush on this person who wouldn't like her in 1,000 years. I like, okay, in sixth grade, I dabbled in being a mean girl.
Okay.
And I stopped.
Really? Being a mean girl. You stopped being mean.
Wow. Yeah. Rohan,
when did this happen? I'd love to hear. I started in sixth grade. I dabbled. And then when I was 31, I was like, you know what? I better just stop.
I didn't say I'm not enough. Mean. I'm just not like a mean girl in the mean girl sense of the word.
That's, oh, okay. All right.
Am I that mean?
No, I was just okay. I was just busting your balls.
I was like, is that my reputation that I'm mean?
Also, I think that's like best friends. There's a familiarity there.
Yeah.
You would be mean. You know?
Yes, yeah. I mean to you, Rohan. Yeah, to me. I'm not that's mean why, to everybody.
That's why I brought it up.
Okay, but you know that I'm mean to you because I love you, because know, you're Kitty. My best friend.
I know, kiddies.
Okay,
we got it.
I trust you, and I like have faith in you to be the best version of
it's
yourself.
It's just when you see a fastball coming over the plate, you either it's not the first pitch, so you don't ignore it. Sometimes you just want to hit it out of the park.
Okay,
you know, and I felt like I had one.
Okay. All right. Just, I want you to know that you're loved and supported.
I know. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you, kiddies. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Wait, Carmen, what did they say in your middle school?
Now I'm remembering very, very specific things that stood out. There's this one girl that gave a blowjob wrong. I think she like blew on it physically, and also put peanut butter on a guy's ass and licked it off, which is. You know,
like the ass or the asshole. I'm sorry.
The hat. No, there's no way it was the hole. It was absolutely the
cheek
butt.
Itself.
Yeah. Which,
you know, he should be so lucky. How dare you spread that rumor?
Yeah.
you know, whether she did it or not, who gives a shit? I just remember hearing that and being like, I don't know. I think most people in my school were just like, all right, fine, cool. It was such a small high school. I went to a very, very small high school. So it was a lot of, especially by our senior year, I think a lot of like the bullying had been pushed out.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, that's great. We had a thing in our, like, I went to a very small middle school, but then like the high school was like merged with like another town. And then we had heard that like there was a big scandal in the middle school because people were giving blowjobs in the bathroom and then like taking pictures of them. This is like the beginning of online, and then like putting them online, and like the cops had to like come in and be like, you can't do this anymore. Like, yeah, they're, you know, whatever. Take those websites down. Like it's child
pornography,
but it's artisan child pornography. It's made by the kids themselves.
Made by and for children.
It's for children. Yeah. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's like in the first days of the internet. So like nobody, like kids didn't really know what they were doing. Kids still don't know what they're doing, but they have so much more knowledge than they do now, than we did. So it was like, yeah, they posted them. And then obviously they didn't know about that everyone could, they did know everyone could see it, but they didn't know what that meant. And so those things had to be shut down.
Yeah, they
They should have been.
Did any of the I'm guessing it's a no, but did any of the kids face like serious repercussions for that?
I don't think so. No. Okay. It was just kind of just like probably they think they were just like suspended from school, but it was not like they got expelled or like they're just like, you can't do this. You can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean,
it was but now, can you imagine, but also, like, this is another thing. You see the video that we just watched now.
Yes.
And, like, I think it's great, but then I'm picturing myself having children or whatever, or, like, a niece or a nephew that if they ever ask me about sex, I'm like, am I going to be cool enough or, like, comfortable enough to talk to them in, like, a way that doesn't scar them? There's another thing you have to worry about.
Did how your parents talk to you about sex scar you?
Well, it did in the sense that they didn't talk to me about it.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. We didn't have that conversation.
Yeah. There was a little bit of conversation, but there could have been so much more and more helpful, I think. Yeah. Tell them about trying to talk to your niece, because this is one of my favorite. It's not even that much of a story, but
oh man, probably too young to bring it up in retrospect, but you know, I'm not around her enough.
Yeah.
And kids have asked me questions before her age before, so I think it was her 12th or
12th. 12th. 11th probably or 12th about a year ago.
And I just like casually brought it up in the car where I was just like, you know, if you ever wanna talk about sex or consent, like I'm here for you. And she, what did she say? She was like, oh yeah, she goes, awkward.
Just like, was not having it. She's like, okay.
Yeah, she roasted the shit out of you. Yeah. In only like a way, like a young kid.
Well, you should know stuff though, right? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to like, and then I tried to keep talking after that, and I couldn't control the volume of my voice.
Anyway, if you got any questions.
Like, no, it's just going to know things, you know. Nobody's, I don't know.
I wish I had a certain level of knowledge when I was your age, and that's why I brought it up. And it's just
the fact that you would, like, take it upon yourself to come in with open arms and be like, I love you. I'm here for you. And she's like, oh.
Which, let's be clear, if someone had done that to me when I was 12, probably would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I would have been like, ooh, sure.
It is hard because you almost have to like corner a kid and be like, that's a mess. But
I don't know if I would phrase it that way. You gotta corner a kid.
Yeah, you have to lure him into a van and then with a candy or something and just like, like drive
just get them to open up.
But you know what, you have to like sit them there and be like, listen, this is awkward, but you gotta shut up and listen because you're gonna need to know this shit, you know.
Exactly. And you're gonna not gonna you're right now it's gonna be weird, but you know, in the future you're gonna think about this conversation and thank me.
Yes.
You're gonna be having sex with your girlfriend, then you're gonna be thinking in your head, I'm glad I talked to Dad.
Now I'm gonna let you out of the dungeon where I locked you, so we can have this conversation.
Oh, God. Yeah. Carmen, you grew up in a small town too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My town only had like 5,000 people, and so like everyone kinda like knows everybody else. Yeah.
That seems truly wild to me.
Yeah. But it's also like a huge deterrent to talking about anything that's remotely vulnerable emotionally, sexually especially, right? Because then everyone's going to know your fucking business.
I think I've always operated under this thing where it's like, there's so many people here. They're not going to remember, like, I can say whatever I want because it's not like they're going to remember, like, this one incident. But, like, yeah, there were, like, 2,000, 3,000 kids in my high school. Like, I could do whatever I want. It didn't matter. You guys don't know me. Forget it.
So many. Burn some bridges.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Burn and all I did.
How big was your graduating class then? Like 800 or 900?
No, it was a lot of people dropped out. We were in the South, darling. Not everyone made it. No, it was 500 something.
Okay. Yeah.
That's not bad. That's how much we had. 300 in our class, I think. Graduating.
So where'd they get all? Oh, because you merged with another town.
Yeah, we merged.
Okay, I was like, where'd you get all those kids? Only 5,000.
No, we merged with another town. Okay. Princeton, New Jersey. That's where.
Oh, like, seems good for you guys. Like, I don't know.
<That's fine. laughs>
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. But
99 in mine.
What? 99?
99.
Wow.
Couldn't even get 100.
Yeah. Dang.
So you have to, like, I can't imagine having to be nice to people because you know you're going to see them forever.
Yeah, every 2 seconds in the one hallway we all share.
Yeah. The one, there's a.
Just one hallway. There's only one building.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One pretty small building. Yeah.
Wild. I love it.
Did anyone from your high school start doing comedy when you started doing comedy?
There were a couple people that like did it before I did it.
Yeah.
There was a guy like a year ahead of me named George Smith who was really nice and he was like a funny guy in high school. And he was, I think he actually won a contest at Bowling Green State University.
Which is Ohio,
to open for Dane Cook. So I think he actually opened for Dane Cook.
Ooh.
At his college. Ooh. But I think that was it for him. He was like, I did it. And then,
I had that in college too. A couple people, I started much later in college, but
same.
But my college, Adam Amawala went to my college. So he had done, and he started way before me. Mm-hmm. And the Lucas brothers went to my college and they started way before me too. And so Adam Amawala and Lucas brothers started. So like I was doing it and I was like, oh, it's cool. And then I like look at my like school and I'm like, oh my God, these people are doing it. I was like, oh, they're all right. So I
you're not going to be the comedian they booked.
I'm not going to be the comedian. Yeah. Damn.
What college did you go to?
The College of New Jersey. It's like a small liberal arts school.
Okay.
New Jersey. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it was nice. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, going back to like the childhood stuff, I just feel like talking to kids about it, things, I would love to be able to be like cool enough to be like, cause that's how you know you're like a cool uncle or aunt as well, where you're like able to relate to them, like, you know, on things that they actually like, but then they also come to you if they have like problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want to be. I want to be a cool uncle. That would be genuinely be like an accomplishment.
For sure.
I have thought.
Is your brother having children?
They will soon.
And I have a nephew and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be there. And Patrice is pregnant, so I'm going to have another one.
Yeah.
Exactly 2 years apart. And I'm, my family, we didn't, like, everyone had girls. And now, for some reason, both of my sisters have boys. And I'm like, I don't know how you handle boy children. What do they need?
Boy children. Probably don't tell. I don't call them boy children.
Don't call them boy children to their faces.
Child.
Yeah. Yeah. Just don't do that. I think.
Yeah. Like I don't want to enforce gender stereotypes. both in what I'm saying, but also how I treat these children. I'm very worried about how I'm going to interact with these young people.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they will dictate a lot of it, you know?
Okay.
I just have one niece and she's, I don't know.
How old is she?
She is 8, I want to say. Okay. Yeah, about probably 8. I think in Thanksgiving she'll be 9. She's just a fun little person. Actually, the past 2 or 3 years have been fun because that's really the first, those first 5 or 6 years, they're not real.
Yeah.
I know that sounds bad, but they're just not.
Yeah. Oh, I have a funny story about like kids that age. So like I have a cousin and he's older than me. He's like, I guess he's like in his mid 40s and he has 2 daughters and they're like, they're probably 10 and 12 years old. And we had like a big like family reunion at my uncle's house, like maybe like 8 months ago. And it's like me and then like all of my cousins who are my age, right? And it's like maybe like 8 of us. And like we meet, you know, we're like chatting, like just catching up or whatever. And we like all go to there's a basement. He's like, let's go to the basement because I don't want to talk to the adults, all this other stuff. So we go to the basement and the girls are there. They're like there on their iPad, like chatting, like giggling. And then we like all come downstairs and they like kind of become quiet and they run upstairs. And then like maybe like 10 minutes later, their dad comes down and then he was like, oh, the girls came up here because they said all the teenagers came downstairs to hang out. So they wanted to run upstairs.
You were the teenagers?
We were the teenagers. They thought that we were teenagers.
Hell yeah. We got to get more 10-year-olds so in the industry.
Yeah, right. Which I thought was very cute. Yeah. They were like, the teenagers are hanging out. We can't be down here. The teenagers are down here. which I thought was very cute, but also like, we're not teenage. Everyone is in their like mid 20s, like early 30s.
Yeah. Wait, Rohan, do you think you'll ever have kids? You talked about being the cool uncle, but like, do you think that you will have kids and be a cool
great question.
Dad? Posing the question to you two as well, but it feels weird because you're a couple, and I don't want to be like, so you guys having kids?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know if it's the right decision. Like just to bring like people into the current world that we're in, but like I'd like to be sure in like if there was a I'd love to be a dad. That'd be awesome.
Real okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if I don't know if like it's the right thing for me, but I would love to do it.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I can see you as like making dad jokes, Dad.
Yes, I could. I absolutely can see myself in that role too. Unfortunately,
nice. I think it's who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
Very deeply. Okay, what about you guys?
Well, we talked about it a lot, and we both, you know, didn't really plan on it because of like our situation. You know what I mean, like money wise. But we have talked about how like emotionally we would like be. We would like children together and we think we'd be good parents, and so we're actually pregnant and we're leaving.
Yeah.
That's good for the pod.
Yeah. Yes. Sam is like, I'm pregnant. Carmen got me pregnant. Yeah, I did it.
Nice.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. We both like children, and like to be a parent would be like gratifying, but for our like lifestyle it's just probably not in the cards.
Exactly. That's how I feel too. It's like, I think that it would be great, but like the lifestyle that I lead and like the life that I want to live, and like, do I see it like getting any, being much more different than it is now? Not really. So, I'm not sure if that's a great environment to bring a child up in.
Kinesis, do you want to have kids?
With my own body, no, not at all. The idea of being pregnant still disgusts me. And my sister sends me photos, and she's my identical twin sister. And she sends me photos of herself pregnant. And it's just like a horror show of like, I had a dream 2 nights ago where it was just like, instead of like a pregnant belly, it was just like, imagine like somebody slapped a baby on your front and then covered it with skin. So you can see like the baby waving from inside and like, just like, all his hands on her stomach.
That's and I was like, beautiful.
That can't be right. This isn't right.
This is the best answer I've ever heard. Want to be a parent.
That's what you think being pregnant is.
Yeah.
A child.
No, that it isn't, but it was just, and Patrice constantly, she's like, oh, he's kicking and he just keeps punching me in the cervix. And I'm just like, no!
That that is also, I know, I'm sure that you probably have this written down, but that is, I don't think I've ever heard that perspective of somebody with an identical twin who gets pregnant and they're just like, oh no, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, it just seems so much. And it's like, it's warm all the time. And she's like, her, it just seems like a lot. So if they invented.
Wait a second. She's warm all the time? Why is that bad? No,
it's just like, there's like an additional body heat. I don't know. I like being slightly chilly all the time. And the fact that I would just have to spend months of my life just hot, just kind of sweating constantly. That sounds terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you guys just want to be hot all the time?
I
run hot. That's my
me too. I always run hot. So it's just like, whatever. I'm okay with that. Being a little bit warmer.
No, I want to be chilly constantly. I want to need a cardigan all the time. That's ideal for me. I want, and I keep researching this, and people tell me that I shouldn't, and Patrice tells me to stop sending her articles about it, but they're developing external wombs, and that is a thing that I'd be like, okay, I can do that.
They take your egg out, they take your eggs, and they put it into like a mechanical womb, and then the baby grows in the womb.
So they don't have it totally worked out yet. So what they have now is you could do like in vitro surgery situation, and they're increasing the length of time that it can be just like in a test tube or petri dish usually. So they're increasing the amount of time that it can be in that. On the other side, what they're doing with sheep, I've done too much reading on this. What they're doing sheep, like they do testing on it, but like a sheep will be born prematurely and they'll immediately take it out of like the mom and into this sac, which is an external uterus. And they like, it's a see-through sac. So you just see like this baby sheep just like kicking around inside this created thing. And they take the umbilical cord and they like have it so that like the blood is being oxygenated and pumped back into it so that it can continue to develop for the full gestational period of a sheep. I don't know what that is. But those sheep end up healthier and better than ones that were just born.
Whoa.
Surely. So I'm thinking they slow, like each window gets a little bit, like they just get closer together until we have a fully external pregnancy situation. That is of interest to me.
That'd be badass to be a bag baby, you know?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You could visit your baby in like a pod in the hospital.
Yeah, a pod baby.
Yeah, that'd be great.
A bag baby, a pod baby.
Every Sunday we go to the hospital, we say hello to our baby as it develops. We can do it with cocktails because you can drink the whole time. Like, it's... Come on.
You're just chain smoking.
Look at how he's, you have like a cigar, like it's like a racehorse. You're just like, sweetie, look at his dick. Yep. Got a real.
You wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want.
Got a real good feeling about this kid.
Like significantly lowered medical risk on behalf of the pregnant woman. You can control like the amount of vitamins, nutrition, oxygen. Optimize all of that so that the baby grows up to be the best possible version of what its genetics can allow. Like, can we?
This is combines both of your interests, Kenise, in like being as efficient and like productive as possible and like pushing everything to like the best it can be while also reducing like as much intimacy as you can have with someone. Minimizing intimacy, increasing productivity. We got it.
Oh, you wouldn't care about that bad baby. You'd care.
Of course.
Come on.
That's like, of course you would care about it. That's not the point. Yeah. They also, I don't know, whatever. I am in no position to comment on whether women should or should not get pregnant. I'll never deal with that, right? In a sense of like, I will never be pregnant.
Unless this thing is a thing that you can strap on your body and walk around, and then both genders can do it, gender equality. Yes.
Ooh.
I do that.
There's like a baby Bjorn, but it's like a baby that's actually growing, and you're like biking. You're like on your bike. And
yeah.
It's just like,
well, don't bike with it. But.
Yeah. Don't, right. Wow.
Don't do that.
Yeah. But it's just I think that like.
You guys have never thought about it. You guys have never.
About a having a baby in a bag? No, I
can't. Can you? How to have a baby outside of your body?
Yeah,
I would do that. I would wear a bag around and birth it.
Yeah. Bond with it and be like, we scheduled this baby to be born at this time. That's when it's the best time. And oh, look at us. And they just open the bag and no one's bleeding everywhere. It's great.
This went from I've done a little research to this might be my new kink.
I am the nation's foremost recovery.
It's an expert on external births. Yeah.
I will donate monies. I want this to be a reality within the next 10 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, it's really interesting. I just think that like you should, I love kids, but I think that we should be thinking about, like, do our lifestyles allow us to really have a child in a productive environment for them to grow up? And, yeah. Like,
I just... Are you saying we need to move to the suburb? Like, what are you saying?
No, not even that. It's just that, like, I'm sorry, like, it would be nice if you can, like, if I had a child, I would want a two-bedroom apartment, and right. I cannot afford a two-bedroom apartment.
Right.
Right? So, like... it's like those like basic little things where you're like, okay, if I want to have two kids, me and my wife have to be able to afford like a 3-bedroom at the very least, maybe like 4-bedroom. In New York City, that's like impossible unless you're killing other babies for
true. You have to be making that choice.
Yeah, that's the only way you can do it. So
or your grandparents killed other babies.
Yeah, or your grandparents killed other babies.
Let's be real. It's like a lot of these people, they aren't killing babies themselves, but they benefit from the killing of babies 100 years ago.
Yeah, because if you move to the suburbs then you can't pursue the career that you want to pursue in the way that you... Or I mean, maybe you can, but like you have to make certain sacrifices. I don't know. It's very difficult. I think that people are... like. I think our parents' generation are like the last generation to like... shame their kids into having children, and I think that our generation will not be that way.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I think that we're like not going to, like, for people who do have kids or like, you know, whatever, we're not going to be like, you have to have other children.
Yeah,
it is your...
that seems like such a weird... yeah,
I think that my parents are immigrants, so like there's that aspect to it, but then it's also like they grew up in a time where like you know, people like mortality rates amongst mothers was kind of high still. So
they were like, yep, you gotta have a bunch to keep a few.
Yeah, and it's like part of your...
sorry, that sounds like, very...
No,
okay. All right.
Yeah.
I was like,
Yeah. Do you guys get like parental like pressure? Like, I feel like that I'm not in a relationship and I get pressure.
I wouldn't say pressure, mm-hmm. but like, it's crazy the amount of times I have like spelled it out for my mom where I've said to her verbatim, I'm like, you better pray to God we don't get pregnant because we are not prepared, you know? Yeah.
No.
She is, without putting pressure on, like, of her own volition, anytime it comes up, she's like, I'd love another grandbaby. And it's like, come on, man.
Oh, another? Oh, you got nothing.
Yeah, you already have one, lady. Don't agree. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
No, my parents, we have a good family Zoom call because of quarantine, and like literally my brother is married and they've been married for a few years, and like every time we chat, they're like, we don't know where to live, because my brother lives on the West Coast, so he's like, once you guys have babies, we'll move to the West Coast. Once you guys have babies, we'll do this. Once you guys have babies, we'll do that. And it's like just baked into the conversation. It's said so casually. And my brother is like a very nice... He's very nice, and his wife is so nice, so they don't say anything, and I'm just like sitting here being like, do you know what kind of pressure you're putting them under right now? I'm getting stressed listening to this. I am worried. Yeah, so they're very much... they put pressure on the my brother, and then like also weirdly, because they're like, you know, they're worried about me, and then they're like, you know, when you have kids, do you want to be living in this apartment, like that kind of thing? And I'm like, what? This is no. We're not talking about... no. I mean, like, I don't know. It's very weird talking to them about that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. Kanish, your mom doesn't put that pressure.
No. She doesn't even ask me if I'm seeing anyone anymore. She's just like, honestly, I just hope you're happy. I don't know. Like, I think I wouldn't say gave up on me being that daughter, but yeah, I think she kind of gave up on me being that daughter. She's like, not... she's like, maybe you'll get married one day, maybe. I don't know.
You and your mom are very similar.
Maybe.
And you have like you guys talk about like dating with each other.
Yeah. Because my mom is like on the apps, and I'm like, don't write that. He did this. Don't X him out of your life forever. That guy's dead to you.
That's got to be so fun to talk to your mom about.
No,
okay, it's fine. It's fine. It's weird because like I've always kind of like, you guys are talking about like doing the sex talk. My mom, when I was 6, gave me the sex talk, and like I told her when I lost my virginity, and she like laughed at the story of it, and she just, it was just very much so like,
that's awesome.
Okay, you're gonna do what you want to do, I imagine. Yeah. Do things that are safer. Like, yeah.
This reminds me, one of the most uncomfortable moments of my life. I lost my virginity the summer before my senior year of high school. And I told my oldest brother, and then he let it slip to my mom. So I am on a road trip with my parents sometime later. And we are we're somewhere at a mall in a Barnes & Noble.
Siblings are so gossipy.
Yes.
Yeah, true, for real.
And my mom just came up to me and she was like, I know why it was so hard for you to get over Emily, you know? And I was like, why? And she's like, it was your first. And I was like, no!
I would have been like, my first what?
What, mom? You would have acted just the ultimate ignorance.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. My first girlfriend? No. No. Oh, man. That's why. Yeah, you have some gossipy-ass siblings, dude.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah.
My mom was like Kinesis' mom. Oops. Sorry, wrong way. It's reversed. Yeah, just like Kinesis' mom, I would say. I think I maybe asked her at a really young age. I think it was like 6. They had a lot of like, I wouldn't say they were hippies, but maybe other people would have.
It's in Vermont?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they would have said
that.
Very open. They didn't smoke weed or anything, so I don't, you know, like none of the.
Some say hippies, some say well-adjusted, you know. They're different.
Corduroys, I don't know. I remember her wording was, a man has a part and woman has a part and they fit together perfectly. That's what she said, which is not true.
Not true at all. Yeah. But I get it. That is really, that is great. They fit together perfectly. There's never a problem.
How did that make you feel on your first time to hear that they fit together perfect? And you're like, I don't think this is perfect. I feel like this is like, a mismatch of puts.
I didn't ask any follow-up after that. I just pictured two dry puzzle pieces just kind of like we're walking.
Too dry.
Like skin, like a skin puzzle.
I'm right.
Hell yeah.
That is so funny.
You're just like, all right.
Yeah, you don't know about wetness. You don't know, like, friction. You're just like, yeah, okay. Like, what I pictured was not at all what the situation was like.
I have to say, this was something that you're talking like two like pieces put. Because I lost my virginity when I was 28. I was like so old, and so like the biggest thing, one of the things I was like most worried about was just like if there's any sort of struggle between like putting my penis into her vagina, she's gonna know that I'm a virgin and it's gonna be off and she's gonna hate it. And the first time ever, that was not a problem. And basically every time since then, it's been like kind of I would say like oh man, but it takes like much longer than that first time. It takes like maybe like 15 seconds as opposed to 1 second. I was like I guess that's what sex is. I was like, I guess I shouldn't have been worried about that.
And now you're worried about it?
No, I'm not. But now I'm just good. Like, I'm not worried about it, but it's just like, you know, Carmen's like, it's two perfect pieces together. And like, that's like kind of what I thought it was going to be like too, where it's like, oh, there won't be any, struggle. Jesus.
Yeah. Struggle doesn't sound good.
It's like, awkwardness. So like,
okay.
Yeah. Cause sometimes there's just like a slight amount and it's fine.
Yeah.
Like in the moment you're both hot, whatever. But like the first time there wasn't any of that. And then every other time it was just like a little bit of adjusting.
I like the sideways shuffle that you just did there.
Adjusting.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
God, I hope you're wearing pants.
Yeah. I am, Sam. Don't worry. It's the one thing that I have, it's the one thing in quarantine that I have maintained is I wear pants. I try to wear jeans. I try to wear shorts. I try to not be in my pajamas all day.
Why jeans?
That's impressive.
I don't know. Well, if it was colder. Now it's not. Now I can't wear jeans, but it stinks. But yeah, what is it? What? Because this is another thing I've been thinking about, and because I'm single and like I've been dating for like the last 3 months, really. Like I'm talking to somebody, but like we're not, can't see each other, and so it's like I have the exact opposite situation that you two have, where you're like in the apartment all the time and you're like together and like you're just like together all the time. So like, what is that like? who has killed who? How many times have you killed each other?
We're doing pretty good. It's funny because we actually moved in like a month or so before this happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had just been like renting an apartment that I didn't live at for like 4 years.
This explains so much, because you guys made that really funny sketch like at the beginning of quarantine.
Oh, yeah, Fucktown.
Yeah, Fucktown, yeah. And I remember watching it and laughing and then being like, why do they have all that stuff? And then now you're saying you moved in together a month before. It's like, now I understand.
No, but Carmen has like a wall of wigs. I feel like Carmen just has a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I guess so.
And then one night early on in quarantine, Carmen was just like, I think I'm going to make Fucktown tonight. And I was like reading or something. And then I came into the room and that was complete. I guess we're just going to film this soon. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That rocks. Yeah. So you'd moved in like a month before.
Yeah, it's been good. I know. Yeah, I feel pretty good about it.
I love it.
She loved it. I also love it. I would say, I think we've had like two different periods in like 3 months where it's been like maybe 3 or 4 days at a time where it's like, fuck you.
But oh, of course.
But I think we deal with it well, and I think it's like very normal, you know?
Of course. It's like,
what is the way that you deal with it? Like, as a lady who's never in long-term relationships, I have no idea how people cope with problems interpersonally, romantically. So tell us more about that, because truly, I have no idea.
I think just we give each other like space, you know what I mean? Yeah, frankly.
That's so important.
Yeah, if Matt Bacchus had not left, it would have been a real issue.
Yeah.
Spend like, I don't know, a couple of days where we're like keeping to ourselves. And I don't know, I think if you're frank about like apologizing when you're like, take time to actually feel sorry before you say you're sorry, you know what I mean?
Yes, 100%.
Literally never thought about that in my whole life.
That's so hard. No. I have thought about that, because it's just like, you have to, it's that communication of like, I need my alone time, and then not feeling, and then being secure enough with, I need my alone time, that your partner is going to respect that. Like, okay, right. And like, not hold that against you. And then vice versa, where you're like, if your partner's like, I need my alone time, not to feel like offended, be like, how dare you? Am I being too much? Am I overbearing? Like, blah, 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 blah. That's, at least those are all the thoughts that went through my head. That's a huge sign of intimacy to like, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I just like the idea that you wait to say sorry until you mean it. That seems novel and new to me. I'm going to be 100% honest.
Yeah, because you don't want to say it and still be like angry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's always been my MO, is like all the...
Carmen's like, yes it has. Keep going, Sam.
That's like, that's a very true thing, right? Like, as mad as you can be about something, like it's impossible to sustain anger for that long, truly. Like, even if you feel like wrong still on principle, you're not gonna be angry forever,
right?
So that's always like my MO in like the biggest fights we've ever had, is just like, I'm out of there, you know? Like, I'll leave. We know, I think we both know, like, everything's gonna be fine, but I'm gonna take off because I'm like too angry, and I don't want to be fighting when I'm that angry, you know?
Yeah. I want to come back. That's very mature. Like, I want to come back when I'm less, because like when I get angry, or like when I'm upset, I like crawl into like a ball of embarrassment, and I'm just like kind of quiet for a long time, and then they're like, why aren't you talking? It's like, I need to process everything. Yeah. I'm just mad at you, but
my impulse is so different.
If I say I'm mad at you, then we're going to get into an even bigger fight, and I'm going to say things that are unfair. So I just need to be quiet for like an hour.
Wow.
Or 2 hours. Or
it's also, it's admittedly a little bit selfish on my part too, because I, when I get angry, I do not speak well at all. Like some people get in an argument and they are on top of it. When I'm angry, I mess up words and phrase it. I start to stutter and I'm like, and it's like, well, I'm not winning. I won't win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. it's best for everybody if I bow out.
That makes sense. Yeah. I guess, Kenise, when you get angry, you're kind of just like, I'm out.
No, when I get angry, I'm like, I'm angry, and we're going to fucking talk about it right now. The setting's not right. Well, you shouldn't have fucked up in public. Like, I don't have that impulse at all, and I should. I'm learning. But yeah, like, Rohan, you and I have had a fight in public, and you were like, I don't really want to fight right now. And I was like, I am furious.
Yeah. Right. I would rather, exactly. Oh yeah, for sure. That's I think it's happened a couple of times.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, where we've just been like, and you're like, I am very mad. I'm like, weird. Nope. I can't. I like, it's too much. It's too much for me to absorb.
I think it's like, in my family growing up, all women, if someone was mad at someone, everything pauses and we shout at each other for a while until we all calm down and eat something. And that is very, is it healthy? No. Do I still do it? Sometimes, yes.
I feel like it's not unhealthy. Yeah.
I don't know, it's healthy though.
It kind of depends.
You address things very quickly.
It depends on how far it goes when it's heated. You know what I mean? If you end up saying things that like really hurt somebody and you can't take it back, you know what I mean? Then it's like, I think that could be dangerous, you know?
Yes.
You probably do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I'm also, I can get mean when I get angry, so I don't want to do that.
No, that's nice.
Yeah.
Because you love each other.
An exclusive Love About Town. Revelation.
Our fights are pretty dumb, too, anyway. I feel like I can't remember a single fight. Like what it was ever about. You can. He can. He remembers.
A couple of them I can remember.
I'm also bad at like.
What do you want to say? It. Yeah. Say one of the million of ways in which you've hurt me.
Right.
If it's the one you're thinking of, it's probably a pretty big one.
I told him his home club of Go Bananas was the worst comedy club in the country.
Oh my god, dude.
Which is. Actually yeah. Wrong.
Like, yeah.
She, yeah.
I hyperbolize when I'm angry.
Sure. She.
Yeah, yeah. And she was just, you were just mad in the moment.
Yeah. And it was more, it wasn't even what she said. It was the fact that I could tell in the moment what she was saying was being said to hurt me. And that made it way worse. And before, I think we were downstairs at Gotham Comedy Club. She said it. And I was like, goodbye. And I left.
Yeah. You took a walk. Yeah, you were just like, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm changing the locks. You're like, I like always like will storm off and then I won't say anything. But then when I'm like alone, I'll think about all the ways I could have like been mad in that moment. And then I'm just like, nah. And then that makes me feel worse. I don't know.
I don't know if it feels as bad. And this is a conversation that they have in the movie. You've got mail, whatever. But as a person who doesn't wait and who says the thing, and sometimes when I'm angry, I can be like articulate and like really nail down the issue. And sometimes it's like a general anger that you have to deal with. Like, yeah, I feel bad about that after the fact. So like, I don't think there's a way to win. Like, not saying the thing and wishing that you had later, or saying the thing and then wishing that you hadn't. I don't know if there's a way to win that.
Oh, like you, it hurts the person, but you don't get to say what you feel you need to say. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is, like, I think you're gonna feel, like, after you get angry and have a fight with someone, even if you say all the things you wanted to say, even if you say none of the things you wanted to say, you're still going to feel bad afterwards. Like, that, like, Rohan is saying that he wishes that he could have said this, that, and the other. I'm saying as someone who says this, that, and the other, it doesn't feel that great either.
Sure.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you're
when you get in, I got this out of a book called The Instinct to Heal. It's a really good book.
Okay.
And it's just about how do you take care of yourself mentally if you can't afford therapy or medication? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Ooh.
Killer great book. Mm-hmm. And a big chapter of it was about what is the phrase I'm looking for? But it's like articulate listening, right? Where you like, you communicate well, and when you have a disagreement, a big part that they talked about was like understanding that it's so rarely about what is happening by itself. It's also about how you are making the other person feel, right? So mm-hmm. when you try to like pick through it, when you're trying to like mend things, you have to, it's not just about what they did. It's about letting them know how they did made you feel. It sounds very cheesy because it's like therapy language. It's like, yeah. When you did this, it made me feel. And it sounds so dumb, but it is such a huge thing to say after an argument, to be like, you did this thing. And it's not that it was even wrong. It's just that it made me feel this way. That's all.
Got it.
Yes, that's huge. That's such a good.
I might buy this book.
I like it.
It's great. I'll see if I have it for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I love saving money.
I gotta tell that to my stupid therapist. Why weren't you telling me this? Why? Yeah. No, that's such a good. That's really nice.
It's a good book, man. I found it on a stoop.
Oh. Hell yeah.
Oh, nice.
All wow. Right.
In like one of the on like a stoop or not, like, because sometimes a neighborhood, you have like the neighborhood library things. You have those?
Maybe it's just like I think we were in Park Slope. I think we were dog sitting
yes.
with a friend, mm-hmm. Which is a great neighborhood to go to if you want to see people leave books out on their stoop. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it really is, genuinely.
Yeah, especially like the first of the month, people move, they just leave them out. And
they have book bins in Park Slope, like kind of like yeah. everywhere. And so someone put a dictionary in there once.
I love that. You know, maybe you need
so
one.
Funny. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they have those book bins and you can like just like go through, and it's like for anybody, so it's like a library kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to put the book back, you can just like take it.
You can just take it.
Yeah,
you can just take a book.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever read a book.
What?
That helped me. No.
Oh.
Let me finish the sentence. I don't think I've ever read a book. That there are books behind me.
That's what I was going to say.
Wait, you say you don't think you've ever read a book that helped you?
Like a book about like managing my emotions or like relationships or like, I like a lot of books, but they're like fiction books or history books. But I don't think I've ever read a book that was like, you should change the way you process things, or like, this is a good way to do this, and been like, yep, I'm incorporating that into my essence. And yeah, I don't think I've ever done that. That's respectable. I don't know.
I get all my books secondhand. I'll get all my book advice secondhand. Like The Love Language. Have you all heard of that? The Love Languages.
Love Languages.
Love Languages.
What's your love language?
mine is like time spent. So like, we don't have to necessarily do anything together, but we just need to be. We just need to be, like, we could be sitting on the couch and you could be listening to music.
Is this like a quiz you can take online to get an answer quickly, or do I have to read the book?
I don't think it's even a quiz. It's just a list. It's just a list. And you kind of know, when you see them, they're different enough that you'll pretty intuitively be able to be like, oh, I think this is the most important way that
somebody did make it into a quiz.
You could look at it.
Yeah,
I mean, it'll probably tell you. Yeah,
it's which Harry Potter house are you? Yeah, that's her love language.
Right, mine is touch. I feel and it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and that has illuminated a lot of our fights sometimes, because like mm-hmm. she is a very touch oriented person too, but not always. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll like reach for her hand or stuff, and she's like, "Get away from me!" And I have to learn to be like, everything's fine.
Get away from me. Yeah.
And then similarly, like I have sometimes like canceled plans and be like, it'll be no big deal. And she's like, what the fuck? And it's like, because that's the most important thing to you.
Okay. That it's from the makers of the book. They have a quiz and it asks you if you are single or in a couple, just so they know how important you are in society. No, I'm kidding. It's
mm-hmm. To rank your worth.
Yes. I don't know what's more meaningful to me. This is tough. Jesus. It's because it says I'm 0% done. This is going to take too long. I'm not going to do this right now.
I just like to, and a partner, I don't want to do anything. I mean, like, I do want to do things, but my thing is, like, as long as we're together, then I, like, you know, like, in our presence, then that's that, I like that building intimacy.
Is that part of why you never plan dates?
Why I never plan dates? Yes.
Okay.
That's definitely part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, well, we're just hanging out together. And then it's just, we're just hanging out together. Unless, and like, all my date plans are, like, obviously, like, drinks for, like, the first, like, two dates. And then, like, a movie, because I love the movies. Oh, there's no movies anymore, but whatever. No. But when they come back.
They'll do projections in the park, right?
That's, yeah, I hope so. Or, like, yeah, and then, like, I'll do that. And then, like, then once every, like, 10 dates, I'll be like, do you want to go to a concert or do you want to, like,
What are these other dates? What are you doing?
Just hanging out. Come over. Hang out. Watch TV.
I'm like, curious. That kind of stuff.
I know. I'm horrible at date planning. I'm like,
you live,
like,
in New York. I mean, it's not what it was, but come on. There's, like, stuff to do.
Big walk for a date, guy. It's great.
See, I don't like that. There's too
much.
Why? I don't know. It's just...
Walking is better than sitting in your apartment, Rohan.
It sure is, but I just can't. I just don't. I don't know. I don't like walking dates. I don't like them.
All right, that's fine.
There's too much. There's, like, I'm gonna get out of breath walking and talking, and I don't know. I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you sprinting away from women? Is that part of why they're not successful dates? Or?
No. Yeah. I don't know.
Walk, we mean mosey.
Yeah, mosey. That's true. Also, if I want to, I'm, like, worried about, like, public displays of affection. And if I wanted to be affectionate publicly and we're, like, on a walk, I'd be worried to do it.
Like, to
kiss.
Can okay. Kiss I was like, what lips. Is this? Okay.
yeah, that's, like, I worry about that. But I don't know. That's just me being neurotic.
So you that's your, like, your line. You don't even like a kiss in public.
No, I do, but, like, I think I have to, like, I've only been, like, comfortable enough to do PDA with, like, one person I've ever dated, and it just takes a long time to, like, work up to that, like, level of intimacy. Hmm. So, like, initially, even, like, within, like, the first, like, 3 months, it would be very hard for me to be, like, intimate in public. Like, a kiss in public would be hard. But then, like, after we, like, get to know each other, I don't know, like, there. It's, like I said, it's only really gotten to the point with, like, one woman where I was like, oh, we've been dating long enough where we could do this. And I'm not uncomfortable with it anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. But yes, mine is, but we have to be together. I like that. Whatever we're doing together, I don't care. But as long as we're together, it's fine.
Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, take the quiz, Kenise. Tell us what you're...
No, it's going to take years of our lives. I'll send it to you guys after I do it, but it seems like a long fucking quiz.
I actually am very interested to know what your love language is.
I'm very interested too. To be honest...
What do you think it is?
I think Kenise...
Let's go through. There's touch. There's time spent. There's words of affection, I think, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gift giving. Mm-hmm. Here's a crazy one. Gift receiving? What?
Yeah, selfish. My love language is being selfish.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I do love getting gifts. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
And then I think acts of kindness, which is kind of like gift giving, but not the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'd be like cleaning out my gutters or something?
Yeah, doing something.
Okay. Yeah, I don't own gutters, but that's just like a first thing that popped into my mind is a nice thing someone would do for someone. You know, just clean out their gutters.
Yeah.
I'll know. That's when I'll get married, when I find a man who'll clean out my gutters. That's
that's when I'll get gutters.
Yeah.
I know what you are.
What am I?
You're in between, like, acknowledgement of kindness. Like, I need, like, thank you for listening to me. Like, that kind of, like, oh, I love this about you. Like, that kind of stuff. And acts of kindness where, like, somebody does a very small thing, like maybe they put a coaster down on the table, like when they have a
drink. Love it when people do that,
right? And like that, like that, those, like, small see, there we go. I pulled that out of my head. That's like not what I would consider something, but something that, like, Like your ideal relationship is like a to-do, like you both have a to-do list and then you both do that to-do list together, like on a weekend.
Yes! And
that's your fucking idea.
That's what I want. Right?
So that's an act of kindness.
Is it act of, I don't know, I'm acknowledging this about myself. I don't think I'm particularly kind, so I don't think that is, like, I like when other people are kind to me, but I don't think I am particularly kind.
Thank you. I think you're actually very kind.
Yeah, me too.
I think I'm, like, nice in conversation, but when's the last time I did anything to help any of you?
You gave me, actually.
Never.
You gave me a free audiobook download for Dan Harris's 10% Happier because I said I was interested in meditation and you just sent it over.
I guess. That was like a year ago. That's
pretty nice. That's like a really sweet.
It didn't cost me anything. So nice. Forget it. I didn't even like bike to your house and give it to you. Whatever.
Yeah, but it's still mental. I helped me.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, shut up, Kenise. Yeah. It's not, hey, Kenise, shut up.
Yeah. Listen, you idiot, you're crap.
Whatever, okay. We're coming up on the hour. We gotta wrap this up.
Oh, okay, all right.
I turned off my AC. I'm just gonna start sweating from now on.
Is this
trying to get out of us telling you how nice you are?
Yeah.
No, but we do have to end this podcast.
Yeah. Language avoiding.
Yeah.
Is avoiding one of the avoiding isn't a love language. I don't imagine. That's not. They wouldn't list that. That's fucking. No. All right. Okay. You both have been on the pod separately before, so you know that we always end in final thoughts.
Returning champions.
Yes, returning champions. We've only during this whole pandemic, we've only been asking people we really like to be on the podcast. People who we thought were really good on the podcast before. You guys don't disappoint. You guys are fucking great. Mm-hmm. But I do want to know, what are your final thoughts? Like things that you maybe haven't thought about in a while that came up on this episode or like maybe something you changed your mind about or anything.
Baby in a bag for me. I'm going to spend too much time looking at that.
I'll send you some resources because I continually look this up.
That's a good question. I really do think I would love to see a greater, just from the initial video, I would love to see a greater, like I said before, you gotta trap these kids, you gotta corner
them. You gotta corner the kids.
But I think we all have to take a greater ownership of like our children's developing sense of sex. Does that make sense? Yeah, everybody does. It takes a village, right?
Yeah.
100%. We're all part of a village.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine is the sorry thing. That was great.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Waiting to say sorry until you mean it. Yeah. That's great. I'm taking that away.
I'm going to start saying sorry at all because I don't now. So.
I've been talking to a girl. Because we can't meet each other. We've like been texting a lot, and we have a rule where we both apologize all the time that we're not allowed to apologize in the chat to each other anymore.
That's great.
Yeah,
I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, and so whenever we do break the rule occasionally, and then we both have to be like, no apologies.
Hell
so
yeah.
That's kind of nice. Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Anyway.
The sorry thing, I'm going to take this love language test. I'm going to figure out something. I don't know. How do you guys use it? What do you do so that you know why she's mad when you cancel plans?
Is that for sure. And just like why you get mad? Like why does it hurt my feelings so much when she doesn't want to hold hands? It's like, oh, maybe she just doesn't want to right now.
Yeah. And she likes you.
Yeah.
That's pretty clear. Great.
It's the know thyself, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm taking this quiz. I'll send you guys what the results are. Carmen, I'll send you all the info I have on babies and bags. I'm just, I want more people to join the bag baby army, whatever.
The bag baby army. that's definitely a cult that's going to be forming pretty
soon. I think we're at the beginning of an age where cults will be rampant because we are going through a health crisis, a financial crisis, and like just like societal change. So I think there are going to be so many cults. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not like a cult lady, but I do kind of want to see like what the cults are going to be. You know what I mean? Just like they're going to be weird. Like things, shit we haven't even thought of. They're going to be weird.
I just love your face. They're gonna be weird.
Weird.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, that's enough right. about cults. Although, if we get more cults, we will cover them on this podcast. But in the meantime, what you can do instead of joining a cult is following our lovely guest, Carmen. Where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, gosh. At Carmstagrams on Instagram, at Carmen Legala on Twitter.
Hell yeah. Sam.
I'm at Really Sam Evans across the board. It's a Twitter handle that's been made fun of, but I stand by it. I've built a brand around it.
No, I like it.
And I have an album out.
Yeah, now. Listen to it. It's so good.
It Thanks. Is very good.
Thanks very much, guys. Mm-hmm. It's called Sweet Baby Boy, and it's available everywhere you can get listen-ums. So.
And it was recorded at Go Bananas, right?
Rohan, where can they find you?
At Rohan Paideh Cool Guy on Instagram. And then I think you should like and rate and review the podcast and like say nice things about our guests and about us and leave us, give us 5-star reviews and just like be cool about it.
There's a way that they could not be cool about it, I guess.
There are a lot of ways that you can be not cool about leaving a review.
But leaving a 5-star review, they're going to do it in a not cool way?
That's true. You're right.
Maybe. I haven't seen all of the 5-star reviews that exist in the universe. Some of them bound to not be cool. Rohan, did you give your handles and stuff?
I did.
You already said it? Okay.
I already said it.
You said Rohan Paideh Cool Guy?
I did. I did. I said it.
I like that you continue to reiterate that to all of our listeners, that you are in fact a cool guy.
I'm a very cool guy, yeah.
Very cool guy.
How could you not notice that?
Everyone knows. My family loves you. You can find me on the internet at Kenise Mobley on all the platforms. That's Insta, Twitter, even Venmo, honestly. I've been saying that, and people have been Venmoing me money, so I'm just going to keep saying it. That's how feedback works, or what is that? Priming? Training?
Priming?
Pavlovian thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Response. Yeah. Consequence. Yeah. You get it.
Yep.
All right. This is Love About Town.
Bye. Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.